I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection of the dead. Now that I, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers and sisters, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. I want to know Christ and the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering and becoming more and more like him. I want to know Christ. Don't we all want to know Jesus? Isn't that why we're here after all? A couple of weeks ago on Epiphany Sunday, we talked about the manifestation of Christ. Christ being made known in the world. Remember with me that I asked, how will Christ be made known into the world? And I also asked if we, the people of God, had any role or responsibility in this happening. I used scripture in the book of Revelation to get us thinking about this topic, making Christ known. Remember what Revelation had to say about the church of Laodicea? It was reported to be lukewarm. And was that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, Jesus said that he'd rather they be cold or hot, one or the other. At least then there could be some work done for or with the people. But something could be done. Get off the fence. Come down on one side or the other, but don't be lukewarm. Don't sit straddling the fence. Don't do nothing. Well, how do we, the church of the 21st century, the church right here in River City, as they say in the musical Music Man, how do we become hot with the passion of God and the good news that he has for us and the love of Christ? Well, we need a revival. We need a revival. We need to be stirred up, shaken up, lifted up by the arms of God. We need to accept the gift of the Holy Spirit, feel it inside of us, become aware of the burning that's there. Let it heat up and boil up within us so that we are on fire with the love of God, hot with the passion of a personal and vibrant relationship with our Savior. We need a revival. Now, the word revival conjures up different pictures to different people. If you grew up in the North like I did, you may not even know what a revival is. In the South, the revival means a week-long series of meetings at the church held by a powerful evangelist. Well, it used to mean a week. I think now it's down to 3 days. Some churches maybe only Sunday evening. But regardless of the length of each of these revival meetings, their purpose is designed to reach unbelievers for Christ. Well, that's all fine and good, but that's not what revival is. Take a look at the word. Revive. Make alive again. Now, how do you make Christ come alive again in a person who never knew his love and the power of the cross? Revival is strengthening believers in the church. Reaching those who don't have a personal relationship with Christ is a byproduct of a revival. But I believe that revival is the sovereign work of God in His own people, bringing back to full spiritual fervor the hearts of believers that are now dormant and dull. G. Campbell Morgan, the great preacher of a bygone generation, defined revival like this: revival is the reanimation of the life of the believer. There can only be revival where there is life to revive. Revival always begins not with the conversion of sinners, but with the reanimation of the people of God. Evangelism, spreading the good news, is the expression of the church. It's the expression of the church. Revival is an experience in the church. Evangelism is the work man does for God. Revival is the work that God does for man. Who among us needs to be revived in our passion for Christ and serving Him? J.L. Packer defines revival as a visitation of God which brings life to Christians. It brings life to Christians who have been sleeping, and it restores a deep sense of God's near presence and holiness. Stephen Oxford writes, revival is that strange sovereign work of God in which He visits the people, restoring, reanimating, and releasing them into the fullness of His blessing. Such a divine intervention will issue in evangelism, though in the first instance, he says, it is a work of God in the church and among individual believers. Simply put, then, revival is a new humility, a new closeness to God, a new passion for Christ, a new love for God, a new desire for holiness. Revival is a new filling with the Holy Spirit. That's what revival is. In reality, revival is a time of divine visitation. It's an invasion from heaven that manifests the presence and power of God in the church. It ushers in a renewed conscious awareness of God's awesome holiness that produces holiness in the church. Revival begins with the ministry of the Word of God. It begins with the preaching and teaching of the Word of God to the church in the power of the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Because Scriptures are full of the life of God. In 1 Peter we read, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of the imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." John reminds us the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are the Spirit, and they are life. And if we are to have God's life within the church revived, then God's Word, which is living and active, must invade our lives. Like produces like. The Word of God revives the life of God in His people. The work of God in the church can run no deeper. Hear this now. The work of God in the church can run no deeper than the height with which we hold Christ up. Our eyes must behold the glory of our enthroned Lord. A spiritual awakening occurs when we lift high our exalted Lord and see His majesty and lordship. It occurs when we grow in personal knowledge of Christ. 2 Peter, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." This awesome revelation, the personal knowledge of Christ, comes primarily through the Christ-honoring preaching of God's Word. It comes through Christ-exalting. It comes through praising and corporate worship, through Christ-focused praying, and through Christ-centered fellowship of Spirit-filled believers. Open your eyes. Lift high the name of Jesus. See Him everywhere in your life. We must continue walking in love, faith, and good deeds. For when Jesus looks down from heaven, he sees selfless sacrificial ministry. He says, I like that. After all, Jesus himself came to be served, not to be served, but to serve. A church revived is a church reaching out to others. Put your 20 cents every time you have a meal in a jar. When the world sees the reality of our love for Jesus, the gospel message that we share is made believable. When the world sees the reality of our love for Jesus, then the gospel message that we share is made believable. One life on fire, revived for Christ, is worth more than a library full of arguments why one ought to be a Christian. The world, those who don't come here, are waiting to see the reality of our love for Him. A church once caught on fire. The neighborhood ran down the street to see the church aflame. The fire was so hot that there was no hope of saving the buildings. Now, present among the bystanders was the town atheist. He was known for his unbelief and his cynical attacks on the church. And as he stood there watching the church burn, one of the members of that church saw him and sarcastically said, "What are you doing here? I never thought I'd see you at church." To which the atheist replied, "You'll have to excuse me, but I've never seen a church on fire before." I think that's what the world needs to see. A church on fire. Oh, not literally, but the people coming out of church on Sunday and coming back to church on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, serving the Lord in different activities, not lukewarm and indifferent, but full of members with red-hot love for Jesus Christ. All right, well, how does that revival begin, preacher? A single sentence written by the great John Wesley has helped me more than anything else answer that question. How does revival begin? John said, "God does nothing redemptively in the world except through prayer." If I put it in my own words, what I think he was saying is whenever God wants to bring his purpose to pass here on earth, he does not act arbitrarily, but he touches the hearts of praying people and then ushers in his purpose across the bridge of prayer. God may be sovereign, but he is not dictatorial or impulsive. He works through human beings. He works through you and me, no matter how old we are. But he can't work through us unless we are tuned into him, making time for him in our lives. I know of no revival that is not connected in some way with powerful, believing, intercessory prayer. This then is how I see God's sovereignty and man's responsibility being brought together in harmony. God loves for his children to be involved with him in bringing about his purpose. It's not in God's nature to ignore the great principle of prayer which he himself has established in the universe. So let Wesley's statement ring in your heart once again. God does nothing redemptive in the world except through prayer. And so revival in the church comes into the world through the doorway of believing prayer. Are we ready for a revival here? Are you ready for a revival in your own life, in your own heart? Who spends enough time just being in the presence of our Savior? Who would like to spend more? And why aren't we? Are we ready for a revival here? Are you ready to be stirred up and shaken up and lifted up by the arms of God? Are you ready to accept the gift of the Holy Spirit and feel it inside you? Become aware of the burning that's there and let it heat up and boil up within you? so that you are on fire. On fire with the love of God. Hot with the passion of a personal and vibrant relationship with our Savior. Are you ready for a revival? I am. Invite your friends, your neighbors, your associates, family. Invite them to come to church with you. Tell someone different every day that Jesus loves them. Come to Sunday school. Join a Bible study. Be open to a new way of thinking and hearing the Word. Be a church that people know as a praying church. So let's pray for a revival of God's people willing to share the good news. Let's get on fire for God. Let's be known as those passionate St. Matthew United Methodist people down there doing crazy things. Going to church 5 days a week, not just one. Are you ready for a revival? Know God's love. And know the joy that comes from sharing that love with others.